Listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820, brings you Family Sanctuary, a show that inspires living the gospel message in word and deed within our families. And now, Family Sanctuary, with host Peggy Hartshorn.
Welcome to the Family Sanctuary, a production of St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. I'm your host, Peggy Hartshorn, chairman of the board of Heartbeat International that advances life-affirming pregnancy help around the world. Well, I have a very special show for you today. I'm real excited about our guests and our subject. And let me just ask you this question. Do you sometimes feel alone, lonely, in need of more support or perhaps encouragement, a helping hand, even though maybe you feel you shouldn't feel this way? After all, you have lots of resources, a good spouse, extended family members, and you could pick up the phone or text or FaceTime or Skype someone at any moment. But maybe it's come into your mind at one time or another, I could really use a friend right now. Well, if you can relate, and I bet we all have, can relate to that, we have a wonderful show for you today that you don't want to miss. And it's about the wonderful subject of friendship. We'll be discussing very practical ways of enhancing your friendships and developing new ones, something that will not only be a blessing to you, but to your whole family as well. And my guests today that are going to discuss this beautiful subject of friendship, my guests today who will be discussing this subject of friendship are Michelle Fenley and Emily Jaminet, both of whom I've known for a number of years, and admired them as wonderful young Catholic women, young mothers, and both on the leadership team of the Columbus Catholic Women's Conference. Gosh, that's been going on now for how many years now, Michelle?
11 years. This is our 11th anniversary.
Wow. And I remember when you first started it. What a beautiful conference and just resource you're bringing to the city of Columbus. But both Michelle and Emily are contributors to the CatholicMom.com website, blog, and are just are well known in the area of Catholic motherhood for the wonderful example that they give, both in their own families. Michelle is with her husband Matthew, they're parents of four children, and Emily with her husband John are parents of seven children, both here, both live here in the Columbus community, and they're both frequent guests on Catholic radio. They've been on EWTN TV at home with Jim and Joy, so maybe you've seen them there. And you may be familiar with their previous book, Divine Mercy for Moms, which was also very inspirational. So welcome, Michelle and Emily. You just amaze me how much you accomplish in your daily lives as well as for others, how you're reaching out. Welcome.
Well, thank you for having us. It's really a privilege to be here with you today, Peggy, so thank you so much.
You're welcome. I'm so glad you could come, and I'm so glad that you have written this wonderful book, The Friendship Project. The subtitle is The Catholic Woman's Guide to Making and Keeping Fabulous Faith-Filled Friends. I love the subtitle, too.
Well, thank you. A little alliteration there for everyone.
That's right. And, you know, this is obviously because it says the Catholic Woman's Guide to Making and Keeping Fabulous Faith-Filled Friends. I want the men who are listening to be well aware that the concepts you're sharing in this book are absolutely pertinent to the men who are listening as well. So men, tune in, be definitely interested in this program. The foreword of your book was written by Father Larry Richards.
Yes, and he jokingly, you know, says right in the foreword, you know, people, I kind of laugh that they asked me to write a foreword for a woman's book, but how important friendship is in his life. And he also talks about how important it is for us to develop a friendship with Jesus Christ. So
absolutely,
he did a wonderful job that, you know, someone interviewed us and said the price of the book is worth it just for the foreword. It's so good.
Well, I definitely would not stop at the foreword, though. I loved the book. I really loved it. Let me just talk a little bit, or maybe I would ask you, Emily, to just tell me about the layout. Tell our listeners about the layout of the book, because I love the way the way you laid it out, the virtues, the saints. Tell us about how the book is arranged and how all that fits together.
So each chapter includes kind of a little bit of a little variety, starting with a virtue, mm-hmm. because the virtues are really the backbone to our relationships. If we have virtue in these friendships and we are, you know, growing in our prayerfulness, faith, hope, and charity, generosity, when you have those virtues in your friendships, they really can blossom. So we have virtue, but we take it a step further and we share saint pairs. So female saints, canonized saints, blessed, and actually all four doctors of the church who were friends on earth, and how that friendship is an example of how it helped them in their walk with their faith and the things that they were able to accomplish through these deep personal friendships. And then thirdly, you know, Michelle and I share testimonies, stories about people who touched our lives and how these virtues came alive through their witnesses. Because much as the gospel is spread person to person to person, same thing with cultivating spiritual friendship. When you have these people in your life that are, you know, extra examples of spreading hope to you, you know, you won't forget it. That flame of hope, that encouragement, and what that means to you. So it's really laid out with a formula. But lastly, we have a section, deepening and developing. So we give you five very practical things that Michelle and I both have done in our own life to cultivate these friendships. Because a lot of times we can read about things and think that, oh, I long for that. I really want that, like you mentioned in the introduction. But the deepening and developing is where we get, you know, nitty gritty. Here are some concrete ideas on what you can do to cultivate better friendships, these spiritual friendships that will, you know, you keep your eyes towards eternity. That's your goal.
Right. And toward the end, at the very end, you actually also have outlines for friend groups. I mean, if some of the readers are inspired to develop a little group, tell us about that part of the book too.
Well, Emily and I have been a part of Faith Sharing Group for over 10 years, and we know how important that's been in us growing our faith lives. So both with Divine Mercy for Moms and the Friendship Project, we made them available for group study. So it's totally free. Right in the back of the book, we have the study guide. So we've got study questions. And then we also guide the women into also doing a little Lectio Divina. So they've got some scripture for you to slowly read over and ponder over and then discuss what you're learning together or what you're hearing God say to you and sharing it with a group. We also did videos. So there's a totally free video series on our website, thefriendshipprojectbook.com. So when you go to our website, you can stream these videos and watch them with your small group. So that provides a unique experience, we feel like, especially for women. You may be in a group and maybe you didn't do the reading, right? So you can still come to the session and watch the video and participate. And what we did in the videos this time was a little different, is we invited our friends who we had featured in the book. So our featured friends, we interviewed them and asked them to share their kind of side of the story. So for example, for the chapter on generosity, we interviewed Christina, who started the Women's Conference, and you get to hear her side of the story and how generosity fueled her to start up this amazing conference that's still going today. So mm-hmm. it's been a great thing to share, and women are doing the study across all over the world. Actually, we have groups in London. We had a group in South Korea. We had a group, someone contacted me from Australia. So it's been really great. And these women love meeting other women. We did it, piloted it here back in the spring with 30 different women from across the Columbus Diocese. And most women didn't know each other that came. So all these beautiful new spiritual friendships blossomed.
Right. It's so exciting to think that not only do you lay out so beautifully examples of this, of great friendships, and how inspiring that is, and you illustrate the virtues that those kinds of friendships develop, but then you have a wonderful, simple way to help the readers do the same thing in their lives, develop those kinds of friendships, a practical way to do that, not only with the nitty-gritty examples and tips that you give at the end of each chapter, but by the outlines you've made available for the women's study groups. I'm really excited to share this with our daughter, Katie, whom I know you know, out in Phoenix. I think she would love it. I think her friends who maybe are more or less acquaintances at this point could truly become friends. Well, Let's define, before we get into some of the examples of not only your stories that you include with your own friends, but some of the saint examples, let's define spiritual friendship. Because we've used that term a couple times, and that's the kind of friendship that your book focuses on. Who'd like to define, Michelle or Emily? Michelle, I'll start with you. What is spiritual friendship?
Well, when we look at friendship, I think people don't realize that friendship is actually a very important topic. One in the church, many of the saints have written about friendship, and also Aristotle studied friendship way back, fourth century. And he classified friendship into three different categories. So he talks about first your friends of utility. And Emily tells a really great story in the book about this nail tech who this girl was coming and getting her nails done and how she thought this nail tech was really her friend as she poured her heart out every week. But she was really there for a good or a service. And after she would stop going to see that nail tech, that friendship wasn't going to go any further. It wasn't going to last. And then he talks about the second level of friendship, and that's a friendship of pleasure. And, those are your workout buddies or your tennis friends or, people you go out on the weekends with, you enjoy life with, but they're not a deep friendship. And then the third level of friendship is virtuous friendship. And that's when you really care about the person and them becoming the best person they can be and encouraging that friendship to grow in virtue. But spiritual friendship, that is when we take things and we invite God into the relationship. So this is when you bring your faith into your friendship. And so many people have told us that they do not have anybody that they can share their faith with. They have nobody that they can talk about their faith in their friendship with. And we've realized in our life, we've been both very blessed to have people throughout our lives that have helped us not even to talk about our faith, but push us forward to growing in our faith and helping us to realize new talents and new gifts and to move forward and to do evangelization work for the church.
Mm-hmm. And it reminded me when I was reading your definition of as we often talk about the relationship between spouses, the husband and wife, that the real core of our relationship is to help the spouse get to heaven. It's a spiritual friendship. It's a spiritual relationship. And yet we need even more people in our lives, even if we have a spouse that's helping us in that direction. Praise the Lord for that. But we still need additional friendships. I think the examples you gave in the book are so beautiful of some of the saints. Well, Mary being one of them, obviously she had Saint Joseph, didn't she? And she even had Jesus. But yet her relationship with Elizabeth was a beautiful example of a virtuous Anna and a spiritual friendship, as you're talking about. So we do need these spiritual friends. Absolutely. So that kind of spiritual friendship. I love that definition. But I'd like for each of you to share with me a couple of stories from the book. Perhaps let's start with maybe your favorite saint story, the saints who were friends that you brought up in the book, because I thought those examples were absolutely beautiful. And perhaps why is it your favorite story or your most memorable or maybe even the most surprising story that you found as you were researching these saints who were friends?
Well, I think you brought up a great example, the Blessed Mother and Saint Elizabeth. That was a great example that you gave, because that is under the virtue of prayerfulness. And if we're trying to grow in spiritual friendship, a lot of times we don't invest in our spiritual life. We don't invest in the act and art and the gift of prayer. So I really was so inspired writing that piece and reflecting on that piece and understanding the relationship between Elizabeth and Mary and how that their relationship was one of service. Theirs was one of prayer together as they were doing their daily tasks. They had a very difficult culture at the time. Women had to work very hard to provide for their families. And I think that in our culture, it's so relatable because we kind of live in a society where we want to get away from the things that we have to do in family life and kind of, if I was just at church, it would be fine. Or if I was just out with my friends, it'd be fine. But really seeing that we can be sanctified along with our friends, our family, through prayerfulness. So prayerfulness really touched me, and it actually recommitted my devotion to the rosary. So praying for my friends has been a whole new important aspect of understanding the importance of these types of saint pairs that we talked about, and seeing that I have such a responsibility in praying for my friends. And that's something that I do with a new appreciation for prayer, that I can really help other people through prayer. So that virtue of prayerfulness and understanding the role of the Blessed Mother and Elizabeth.
That when you mention the how important it is that we support each other in prayer, that reminds me of the story of your friend from Franciscan. Both of you were in the same, your friend and, but Michelle and Emily, you were in the same sisterhood there,
yes.
There at Franciscan University. And tell us the story about supporting your friend in prayer who got the cancer diagnosis. That was an amazing story in the book.
That's funny when you said that, because I wanted to tie it in. So what a beautiful tie-in. We talked about hope and being a hopeful person, and not just on the level of wishing good things for each other. That's something more that our culture's adapted, that definition of hope, but really looking our eyes towards heaven and recognizing that no matter what our trials and tribulations are, our hope is in Jesus Christ. Our hope is in making it to eternity. So Michelle and I had a good friend who experienced cancer early in her life with young children, and we couldn't be there for her physically, but we came together through prayer. We came together through a daily commitment of praying the rosary for her every day, and really seeing her journey and seeing that we could be a part of that through being a person of hope.
And tell me how that happened. That, how did you even remember to pray the rosary every day for her? I love that part of the story.
Well, we had wonderful friends who are out in the Washington, D.C. area, and a package arrived in the mail at all of us that were household sisters, which is kind of like a Catholic sorority in college. So they send us a package of a rosary bracelet. So our friend was a little jewelry maker, and she made these beautiful pink and white rosary bracelets, and we each had one, and we were to wear that rosary bracelet and not only to pray for Stacy, but you know, every time you bump that rosary bracelet, or you caught it on your sweater, or you brush it against the counter, that you just said a little prayer for her, because we knew that while I was able to be making dinner for my children or driving around, she wasn't even able to do any of those things, because she had a great stage 3 brain cancer. I mean, she had been given an 18-month prognosis. It was a very serious cancer. And praise be to God, we went down to Atlanta, Georgia last year and celebrated 10 years cancer free and her 40th birthday. And we're actually going back down to Atlanta, Georgia next week. And we're going to be doing a Friendship by Candlelight event for their Advent.
Great.
And so it's going to be just really a wonderful gift to share her beautiful story and to be able to show women that we can be there for our friends in their times of deepest need. And it meant so much to her to know that we were praying for her all across the country, you know, really being there and being her support. Because sometimes no matter what we can do temporally for our friends, but being there spiritually is also incredibly important.
Mm-hmm. And knowing that her sisters, that she had developed that beautiful spiritual friendship in college with you, that continued for obviously for a lifetime, and I'm sure it will, that bonding that you had. And when someone had a need, you were all there. And what a beautiful idea to send everyone a rosary bracelet. I love that story. Well, Michelle, I asked Emily about her favorite pair of saints that you talked about in the book, or the saint pair that made the most impact on her. What's your response to that?
You know, since we're talking about family today, and of course, the Blessed Mother and Elizabeth were kinswomen, I want to talk about St. Teresa Lisieux and her sister Leonie, because before I started writing this, I didn't even know that the cause for canonization was opened for Leonie, and she became declared a servant of God, and I didn't know really anything about their relationship. But Leonie was 9 years older than St. Therese, and she was kind of, they called her the lame duck of the Martin family. As you know, they had 5 girls, and they all entered the convent, but Leonie had entered several times and had to leave. She had poor health. She was not actually an attractive young woman. When she was growing up, they said she had this terrible eczema, that she had pus all over her body, and she was just you know, not the, you know, popular, beautiful young girl, but she had this special relationship with Saint Therese. And when Therese died, she promised Léonie that she was going to get her to the convent and there she would stay. And sure enough, she had this beautiful relationship with her sister that not only lasted on earth, but also lasted in eternity. And so it was true that once Léonie entered the convent after Saint Therese had passed away, she was able to stay, and so much that even when she died, she was now buried in the Visitation convent, not with the other Martin sisters. So there she stayed for amazing. All of her time. And I think this is also a heartwarming story for people who have lost friends or family members to remember that relationship, that we can still have that spiritual friendship. That spiritual friendship transcends even death. And from, you know, heaven, Saint Therese, one of the first people she helped through Léonie living the little way, was her sister. So it was such a beautiful, you know, gift, their friendship and their sisterhood.
That's interesting. And as I was reading your book too, obviously I started thinking about the people in my life who are my friends. And I have two sisters, both of whom are very, very dear spiritual friends. So being a friend doesn't mean you can't also be in the family. Serve two roles, sister and spiritual friend. That's a beautiful story. Well, what about some of the other stories of how this friendship has related to your own lives? I know the beautiful story of your friend who had cancer. What are some of your other favorite examples of this in your own lives?
Well, we just had a recent example that actually stemmed from the book. So I share in one of the suggestions on how to create new spiritual friends is to ask somebody after church to join you for something. Mm-hmm. And about 14 years ago, I was going to Mass at Immaculate Conception over here. They had a nice 11:30 Mass, and a young mom approached me that I had just seen sitting at daily Mass before, and she invited me to join a play group. And so I kind of was, you know, a little, thought it was a little odd. I don't know this person. I didn't know anybody else in this play group, but I started to go. And these women in this play group, we became very close friends. We met for about 5 years every week. And it was such, in hindsight, you know, it was a godsend. She was like an angel that I didn't even realize what a lonely place I had been in my life. And to have somebody who was going to daily Mass and encouraging me in my faith was such a blessing. Well, the book has been out, and she put on Facebook last week, "You're not going to believe this, Michelle. I was at Mass today, and a woman invited me over to join her for a group doing your book, The Friendship Project, because she said one of the suggestions of the book is to meet somebody after Mass." And the author told how she met this woman after Mass, and she said, "You're not going to believe it. That was me."
Oh, like, isn't that beautiful?
She invited me, and I know the author. So the fact that this happened in South Bend, Indiana, you know, mm-hmm. 4 hours away from her, to the same woman, how this has come full circle. She said it was really a miracle.
That is amazing. Well, tell me, how has, I'm sure as you wrote the book, you began to realize too, because you've lived this life of friendship with each other and your sisters from Franciscan and all of the other women you've touched, you've lived this life already. It's not new for you. How has it impacted your families? Because, of course, our program is all about the family sanctuary. So I'm sure that this has been enriching your families all along.
Absolutely. It's enriched our families. It's strengthened our marriages. It's brought more joy into our home. We've been more deliberate about friendship. And that's one of the things we talk about in the book, is that, you know, you don't just happen upon friends, but you really need to be part of, you know, allow the Lord to work in your life and to enlighten you on who you should be friends with. So we ask you to pray about that and then cultivate those friendships. So one thing a suggestion we make is Friendship Friday. So on Friday, you pray for your friends. On Friday, you make plans with friends. And a lot of Fridays, we would get together with our husbands and our kids and meet up at the pool or meet up, you know, at someone's house. And it just brought so much joy into our family. So we really encourage all the listeners to be a little bit more deliberate, because yes, we can be instantly connected with almost anyone from any stage of our life. And you know, just a click on the phone. But the reality is, spending time together is really important for cultivating friendship.
So your friendship with these women has sometimes become friendship for the families.
Yes.
Yeah. And so it's not just woman-to-woman friendship Friday. It's family-to-family.
Family-to-family. Husband. Last weekend, I went out with another couple, you know, and which strengthens our marriage because we found a nice compatible couple for dinner or girls' nights, you know, mm-hmm. You know, like Michelle mentioned, we might go to Adoration and get some ice cream afterwards or meet up. So it just really does break that cycle of loneliness that really plagues our culture.
Yeah. What about you, Michelle, in terms of how this has affected your family?
Well, it's been great because when you deliberately live the virtues and, you know, when you're writing something like when you're really trying to be a friend of faith and we are, you know, let's practice these with our families first, right? So being a wife of faith, being a wife of hope, being a wife of charity, trying to live out the virtues, they're difficult. They're hard. So just having that friendship with your husband and thinking this isn't just, you know, an association, a parenting association where we're trying to get the kids around. Growing in love and putting these virtues in your marriage has been just beautifully transforming for both of us. Hard to do, but really been a blessing for all of us.
Absolutely. Wow. This has been so interesting. As I say, I can't wait for my daughter to see how she and my husband and I have been living this mainly, I would say, through our marriage encounter context for so many years. So it's beautiful. Thank you so much both for being with us today. And I want to direct people to your website, thefriendshipprojectbook.com, where you've got some of these videos, lots of good resources, how to get the book, which is published by AveMariaPress.com. Thank you again for being here. And for all of our listeners, thank you for joining us today. You're listening to AM 820 St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, archives at stgabrielradio.com. And our program is broadcast at 12:30 every Monday and 2 o'clock on Sundays. So join us again to strengthen our families and make them sanctuaries of life as God intended.
Family Sanctuary is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. Archives of Family Sanctuary with Peggy Hartshorn are available at stgabrielradio.com. Veni,